The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Brought to you by the National Cannabis Coalition.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
All right. Welcome, everybody. It's Tuesday, July 10th, 2012, and it's got to be 7:10 everywhere in the world. Welcome to the Russ Belville Show. For those of you who are new to the culture, 7:10 is oil, upside down and backwards. So when we get into hour two, we'll be talking more about the dabs, the concentrates, the BHO, the hash, whatever you want to call it. It's oil day here on the Russ Belville Show. But before we get to all of that, let's get everyone here in the studio present and accounted for. First of all, hanging in at the engineer desk today, we've got Wiz Calico. Hi, Calico.
Aloha. I am present. I am here.
So what puts you behind the engineer desk today?
Ganja John felt a little ill last night with some food poisoning, and I do not envy that guy at all, having had some food poisoning about a month ago myself.
So. And, you know, he's on, like, all these anti-rejection drugs and stuff like that for the transplant. So, like we could probably have eaten that just fine and it would have been a problem.
But I hope he feels better, and especially on this, his holiday, 7:10, so it's a bummer that he's feeling under the weather, so we hope you feel better, buddy.
Yeah, it's the Ganja John holiday. Please get well, my man. Also, from our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, we've got our news director, Cannabis Carrie. Hi, Carrie.
Hello. I'm sure that Ganja John's finding some alternate medicine to help take care of his nausea today.
I'm sure he has some sort of anti-emetic herbal remedy handy. I'm sure something will work for him.
Some access to it, we hope.
I hope so, too. Carrie brings us our headlines at the beginning of the show, and we've got actually breaking news as well. So give him some headlines here, Carrie. What are we going to talk about after this first break?
You know, it's been kind of rough because we're having a short week today, so we've got a lot of news to cover. I'm going to try to get this all in today. We've got some results about ballot measures making it on the state's ballots, not making it on. We're also going to go to New York, where an interesting lawsuit has been filed by the attorney general there against the sellers of K2 synthetic drugs. We're going to go to Massachusetts for that breaking news about their ballot initiative, and we'll see how much we can fit in on the Cannabis Chronicles today. We should probably do a 30-minute news segment today, Russ.
No kidding. So much news going down. We'll get to as much of it as we can. And then right after that, it's Electric Tuesday for our Daily Toker Tunes. So when we hit 20 after, we're going to bring you some more great electronic dance music. More remix from our buddy Kelly Dean. I'm not sure which one we're going to pull out of the archives yet, but we're going to play some Kelly Dean remix for you for our Daily Toker Tune. And then at half past, we're continuing our Director's Week. I'm really excited to be able to talk again to Adam Scorgi. He's the director of The Union, The Business Behind Getting High, one of the best documentaries on the marijuana industry that I've ever seen. He's got a new project. He's got a Kickstarter out for it and wants to tell you all about it and get some help to talk about that. What's it called, Calico?
It's called The Culture High.
The Culture High, that's right. So we're going to check that out. He's going to aim his cameras at the marijuana culture, and we'll talk to him all about that at half past the hour. And then at the end of the show, time for a radical rant about my good friend, the only non-pot smoker I know, Dr. Kevin Sabet. Dr. Kevin Sabet has got an article up at the U.S. News and World Report. They've been having a debate there. Neil Franklin from Leap has weighed in. Paula Rentano from Normal. Is Aaron Houston got one up there too from SSDP?
As well as Neil Franklin.
Yeah. And so we've got Kevin Sabet arguing for the drug war. Of course, he's arguing for the kinder, gentler drug war. And I'm going to show you how to poke holes in that balloon when we get to the Radical Rant. And then hang out for hour two, Toker Talk Radio. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show here on National Cannabis Radio, the 24-hour home for marijuana news, information, and entertainment. Stick around. Make sure you follow our Twitter at NCR420. Follow The Russ Belville Show at RBShow420. And we'll be right back after these messages.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. Support The Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to The Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on The Russ Belville Show.
Well, I say little red collet, darling, your mud's too fierce. Little red collet, you need a love that's gonna lay.
Warning, it's taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say. Help us legalize it. Text NCC to 420-420 and send $10 to the National Cannabis Coalition. Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis. The topic of marijuana is heating up the news, and the Russ Belville Show catches you up with today's latest headlines. Now, here's our senior news editor, Cannabis Carey, with the Daily Cannabis Chronicle.
We know that Colorado and Washington are in. We're waiting for the word from the state of Oregon to see if they're in. And now we are getting reports from other legalization efforts from other states. Today, we got the word from our Michigan activist friends that they are ending their campaign to put a legalization effort on the November ballot. The Committee for a Safer Michigan is the group that is behind the massive effort to put a citizens' ballot initiative to legalize marijuana in a state that already recognizes medicinal uses of marijuana. Today, it was Sharmi Golson who spoke for the group, saying that they only had about 50,000 of the 322,609 signatures that they would have needed to make the ballot. Golson told media that they aren't going anywhere, that they're in for the long haul, and the group is focusing their energy on the 2014 campaign now. She also said that the current campaign allowed them to reach out to groups that were traditionally considered unlikely sources of support, relationships that they say they will capitalize during the next election cycle. Matt Abel, the director for the campaign, thinks that the group's effort started the discussion about changing marijuana policy in Michigan, saying that anytime they're discussing the issue openly, it helps people come out of the closet for legalization. The group is using their existing structure to continue fundraising efforts towards that 2014 campaign. They've set a goal of collecting at least $1 million in the next year to pay for the cost of a successful campaign. They're also setting their sights on collecting a half a million signatures with all the new people that have come in to help at the last minute. They say they're only gaining people that support the cause and not losing anyone. They hope to use the funds they raise to pay petitioners this time to collect signatures in the next round. Michiganders that live in Detroit, though, will still get to vote on a decriminalization measure for their city come November.
Well, it's sad news that Michigan didn't get there this time, and it's sadder that they had so few signatures collected. But again, anytime we're talking about it, anytime we're bringing this before the people, we are winning this battle. This is what has to happen. The debate has to happen in public. We have to be in their face asking them whether or not they support legalization. So keep going, Michigan. This is going to work for you. You're going to get it on the ballot. You just have to keep trying and trying. And this also serves as a message to those of us in Washington, in Colorado, and we hope here in Oregon that you don't always get a chance to vote on legalization. You may put a whole lot of time, money, and effort in it and not even make it to the ballot, like what's going on here in Michigan. So we can't let them down, the people that are east of us, we can't let them down by failing to pass the legalization that's on our ballots when we get the chance to do it. Vote yes on I-502, vote yes on Amendment 64, and vote yes, we hope, on I-9 Okta right here in the state of Oregon.
There's a crackdown going on in New York State, but this time the target is synthetic marijuana and designer drugs like bath salts. A new lawsuit filed today names 16 head shops in the state for violating New York's labeling laws. New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman filed that lawsuit after he says his office did an undercover investigation that revealed that employees of head shops in Rochester were illegally selling and promoting the synthetic drug products. Schneiderman says the effort is worth it because the sales of these drugs have contributed to a public health crisis in New York State. The independent cover investigation by the AG's office said that the marketing of these items as incense, potpourri, and dietary supplements is illegal under New York State labeling laws. They say they sent shoppers from their office to a number of stores in Rochester, Syracuse, Utica, Poughkeepsie, Buffalo, and Watertown, among others. The investigators bought K2 along with glass pipes for smoking substance. At the Lookahookah store in Greece, New York, an investigator was able to purchase fly agaric mushrooms, a leaf mushroom that can be used as an intoxicant and a slight hallucinogenic. Now, it's listed as a poison with the FDA, and it has unpredictable effects. A problem for the shopkeepers that are selling it, what is considered a poison for human consumption. Also purchased in the investigation was nitrous oxide charges, along with salvia and kratom, those natural herbs with potent effects. The salvia were sold along with water bongs, since the clerks in the store told the undercover investigators that that's the best way to ingest the substance. Both items were labeled potpourri. Schneiderman's agents say they only purchase water pipes when recommended by the store clerks. Now, the lawsuit is not seeking monetary damages. They want an immediate end to the mislabeling of the drugs and a full account from each store of all that merchandise that's offered for sale, including the names of the products, the price, the numbers of the units that they have sold, with all the manufacturer and distributor information. Now, since the lawsuit was just filed today, none of the defendants have released statements yet, but we will keep you posted.
Well, this is an interesting situation because I'm generally of the opinion that adults should be allowed to consume whatever the hell they want, so long as they're informed and educated about what they're doing, and so long as they don't violate the rights of others. So that opens up the question, if this suit is successful with regard to the labeling of K2 and Spice, if they were to label it for human consumption and they were to list exactly what synthetic cannabinoids or whatever else were listed on the label, would we then be okay with it being bought and sold? I would like to see a little more testing of the stuff myself, but it's an interesting question. It's something to look at. I do agree here with the New York AG in going after this as a labeling issue, because that's the thing. People being misinformed about this, being told it's not for human consumption, being told it's potpourri, and having no idea the strength, the consistency, or even what the hell they've sprayed on those things, that's the danger that I worry about. I'm always for more freedom and more education and giving adults the right to do with their bodies whatever they choose.
To the ballot in Massachusetts, voters in the state will also get to vote on whether to give independent repair shops access to data that's now closely guarded by car makers and on the legality of assisted suicide. Only 11,000 signatures was needed to go to the state secretary's office by July 3rd to make that ballot, and Secretary William Galvin said that all three initiatives easily made the mark. Along with medical marijuana, the original language of the medical marijuana law initiative was, quote, a yes vote would enact the proposed law eliminating state and civil penalties related to the medical use of marijuana by patients meeting certain conditions. Now, that language had been changed and then okayed by a Supreme Judicial Court judge at the end of June to go on to explain that patients would be able to get marijuana, quote, produced and distributed by state regulated centers or in specific hardship cases to grow marijuana for their own use. Now, the original wording did not make it clear that initiative would have allowed up to 35 marijuana dispensaries in the state. Heidi Hillman, the president of the Massachusetts Prevention Alliance, had appealed the phrasing, and they were thrilled with the ruling, but at least that at least one and not more than five centers would be allowed in each county, that that information will go into the ballot. Now, the Committee for Compassionate Medicine, which filed that ballot question, said that they're fine with the new wording that was drafted by the Attorney General's office. Jennifer Manley, a spokesman for the group that was responsible for that question to get on the ballot, said it was important that the language made it clear that dispensaries would be regulated. Now, if passed by the voters, patients that qualify with a doctor's recommendation could possess up to a 60-day supply of marijuana as defined by the State Department of Public Health for their personal medical use. The health department would register dispensaries and their employees and establish rules for them, including cultivation and storage of marijuana. And patients that could not access a treatment center to get their medical marijuana could also apply for a financial hardship or a physical inability to access reasonable transportation or distance. They could register with the health department to grow their own plants. Now, the summary says the proposed law would not require doctors to authorize medical marijuana, nor would it force health insurers or government agencies to pay for it.
All right, we got medical marijuana on the ballot in Massachusetts. And folks, I am betting you right now, it'll pass by a 2-to-1 margin. It'll get a 67%. It'll be up there, man, because there's a huge amount of support up there in the state of Massachusetts, which in 2008 decriminalized marijuana for all uses. I think a half ounce or an ounce, something like that. Made it a ticket-only offense by a 63% margin, I think it was. So kudos to the activists there in Massachusetts. I know support has only gone up since 2008. It's very likely that they are going to pass medical marijuana in this November ballot. Now, good news also, that language there that said that Massachusetts patients will be allowed to have a 60-day supply, that was the same language they had in Washington State's medical marijuana law from 1998. 60-day supply. And there was so much controversy over how much that was, because some sheriffs in some counties thought it was a lot, some said it wasn't very much, that they had to come up with, all right, what is a 60-day supply? When they studied that, when they got the experts to come in and say what the most needy patient would need for a 60-day supply, they came up with 70 ounces, 70 ounces of marijuana. And they freaked out, of course, and said, oh, no, let's make it half that. They brought it down to 35 ounces of medical marijuana. And then just to make things easier, they brought it down even further to 24 ounces of medical marijuana to match what we've got here in the state of Oregon. So Massachusetts, you pass this initiative, you may be looking at a pound and a half of marijuana per patient.
And one last story. A 50-year-old Portland, Maine man who suffers from glaucoma and Crohn's disease is at the risk of losing his home if he doesn't stop using, or at least growing, medical marijuana. Don LaRouche says that for the past 5 years, he has been growing medical marijuana as permitted by state law. But Don LaRouche also relies on federal housing assistance to help pay his rent on his small trailer home. Officials who oversee the housing assistance program say that any violation of federal laws within a resident that is paid for by government vouchers is grounds for termination of aid. The discrepancy between state and federal laws concerning marijuana are causing problems for citizens in medical marijuana states like Maine. The federal government sees marijuana as a Schedule I substance, the most dangerous category for drugs to be listed as having a high probability for abuse and zero medical uses. But over a dozen states now legally recognize that marijuana can be used as a medical treatment. In Don LaRouche's case, Denise Lord, the director of the Maine State Housing Authority's voucher assistant program, said that they have presented to LaRouche that he must get rid of the marijuana plants he's growing by July 23rd, or he will lose his housing assistance. Lord says that given the Maine law and the federal law, that they are trying to find the best solution for everyone. LaRouche might disagree with that statement. So far, he has reached out to his representatives and the governor for help. He says growing a small number of plants is the only way he can afford to get what he considers his most important medicine. According to the Maine Housing Authority, he will have to find another source in the next 13 days or he's going to lose all his rent money. Tough choices for a legal patient.
Once again, second-class citizenship. This is not something that anyone else involved with any other using any other prescription medication has to deal with. Only people that are using medical cannabis in the state of Maine, for God's sake, where they allow you to grow, 25 plants before it's a felony, 100 plants before it's a felony, something like that. And I'm not talking medical. I'm talking, if you're just a regular old person in Maine, you have to have over 100 plants before they consider it a felony. But we're going to kick this guy out of his house for growing medical marijuana plants. And again, it goes back to Section 8, and it goes back to federal stuff, and it goes back to all these rules that are tied into the federal prohibition of marijuana. It once again shows that medical marijuana, while it's a beautiful thing, while it helps so many people, it is but a step in the evolution of our freedom, our reclamation of our hemp heritage. It's time for us to get get our rights back. It's time for us to show this federal government that we are going to pass legalization in Washington, Oregon, and Colorado. We're going to pass medical marijuana in Massachusetts. We're going to pass the decrim measure in Detroit, Michigan. We're going to keep showing them that we will not stop until you recognize our right to use the plant our founders used.
It's 420 back in Idaho, where Russ and Carrie were born. So we have to go connect with our roots. You know what I mean? Please support these sponsors who support the Russ Belville Show.
Oh, have you? All right, folks, when we come back, we got some Electric Tuesday music from Kelly Dean. And then at the bottom of the hour, Adam Scorgi from The Union, the business behind getting high with his new project, The Culture High. It's the Russ Belville Show. We're back right after this.
Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Jive, marry, grifo, grass, hay. Technically, it's cannabis sativa, the common name, marijuana. She has found a crutch to see her through her difficulties instead of facing up to them and coping with them. And in time, she may be ready to try something different. Something better.
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting-edge genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, folks, we're going to play some more music from Kelly Dean, who's given us permission to play his remix of some great stuff that we play here on Electric Tuesday. We played his remix of Mikey Dread, Warrior Styly, a little while ago, and so I'm going to add to that another track from Kelly Dean's SoundCloud. You can find this at soundcloud.com/Kelly Dean. K-E-L-L-Y-D-E-A-N, Kelly Dean. And if you remember the song where me, Ganja John, and Cannabis Carrie get the shout out in one of the rap songs that we play, Ganja John, Cannabis Carrie, and Radical Russ, right? That was done by Thoughts Horizon and Ominous Words, I think, is the other artist. Well, we've got a remix here from another tune done by Thoughts Horizon and with Arlano in this one. This one's called Stand in Line, the Kelly Dean remix. So we'll play this for you. Hope you enjoy it.
There's only so much time before we lose our minds. They say to get in line, but I decline. 'Cause we will be what we need to be. And we will be what we need to be.
It's cold, better take your coat. Cold world gonna shake your boat. I made hope while my homies made dope. Rappers are phonies and they only know quotes. Beautiful disasters, I massacre shows. Pretty girls with mascara, passing out at shows. Passing out my soul on CDs to those who choose to see me grow. With mics I glow, at night I take flight and flow. Bumping third eye blind with my eyes in the skull. Modern day Lennon listening to Citizen Cole. World spinning, watching women while they finishing smokes. And we ready to go.
Lose our minds. They say to get in line, but I decline.
cuts like a fiddle. Greatness is committal, and the spittle runs the middle. Transmittal, but it'll open up your spin smooth and never brittle. And the vittles on the eating. My heart keeps on beating. My line is long, sweetened, and my love is on keeping and keeping on and on until it's gone. So we must be atomic and form like zinc bonds. Be happy with yourself. Perfection almost stayed. God touched your clay, yo, and sent you on your way. Be happy with yourself. Perfection almost stayed. God touched your clay, yo, and sent you on your way.
There's only so much time before we lose our minds. They say to get in line, but I decline. We, what we need to be. And we will be what we need to be in
Horizon with Arlano. Stand in line, the Kelly Dean remix. You can get this at soundcloud.com/Kelly Dean. Check it out. When we come back, we've got Adam Scorgi from The Union, the business behind getting high. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show here on National Cannabis Radio.
Dear Mom, when I was in college, I used to drink a lot. It was kind of crazy. But now that I'm older, I prefer to use marijuana. It's less harmful to my body, I don't get hungover, and honestly, I feel safer around marijuana users. I hope this makes sense, but if not, let's talk. I love you.
Definitely keeping the funk alive here at National Cannabis Radio. This is Big Daddy Fink, and I want you to join me at the Funky Roller Rink, where it's always a funky party, y'all. Every Tuesday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific. Keep it funky, keep it funky, keep it funky, keep it funky.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
The cannabis community includes a diverse set of activists and nonprofits working to end the prohibition of marijuana. We take the time to hear the stories of reform on the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Community Chat.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Half past the hour here, and we're really excited to talk to our next guest. It's Adam Scorgi. He's the director behind The Union, the business behind getting high, and he's got a new project he's really excited to tell us about. Adam, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
First, before we get into the new project, I wanted to ask you a couple questions about The Union. I a lot of people saw this movie and it did really well as far as the cannabis community goes. How did this movie do for you, in the mainstream? I know it got some major network play, and what's been the reaction to it from people out there in the mainstream?
Well, The Union for a first film really probably was a grand slam as far as success in all aspects of the industry. It made money for our distributors, didn't make us much money, but it made enough for the distributors to want to invest in their next film, which is great. It got critical acclaim, which is great for our career, and it seems to be a film that never stops gaining interest because the information and the way that it's now used as an educational tool is something that we always had an idea that it could possibly do that, but never thought to this level. Like, most recently, we were invited to Parliament Hill in Canada by the former Attorney General to help educate MPs on the ramifications of cannabis prohibition, and our film was going to be the catalyst on how they were going to educate the MPs. And for those American listeners that aren't familiar, Parliament Hill is Canada's White House.
Right.
So we are invited to screen the film there, something that we never thought would happen.
Yeah, and an invitation I don't think you'll get from our White House anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay, so being used as an educational tool here, Canadian government is looking at it. Since you made the film, have there been developments in the business behind Getting High that you're like, oh man, I wish we would have been able to include that in the film? Something new, something...
Oh man, there's lots to include, and there's so much going on around the globe right now, and I think that's what kind of made us wanted to dive into the culture high, is that there seems to be this global cultural shift in the way people are starting to look at cannabis laws, and I think it goes a lot with just how we're seeing culture, that, it's not as easy to say they're bad guys and we're good guys anymore, right? It's not drug dealers and good guys, or the bad guys in war. Like, we don't even look at war the same as we did during the World Wars, where it was easy to say, okay, bad guys, we're the good guys. Now everything is skewed because we have much more access to information. And this is what we're looking at with the culture highs. There seems to be this global cultural shift in the way people are looking at things now. And it's not as black and white. There's a lot of gray going on in all areas now. And the kind of people that are coming out speaking about this are fascinating, and we can't wait to just sit down and go through the journey again as journalists and just really have these in-depth conversations with these people on film to learn what's going on once again.
Yeah, let's talk about this new project. It's The Culture High, and I know you've got a Kickstarter for it. You're trying to raise some funds for it. Let's give people the contact information they need if they want to help you out with this project, and then we'll talk about it a little.
Okay, cool. Yeah, if they want to find it, you can either go to YouTube and just search The Culture High, and you'll find the YouTube video. There's a 5-minute video that's totally explaining kind of what we're trying to do. Or you can go to Kickstarter.com yourself, and then there, just look up on Kickstarter, The Culture High. Or you can go to the Union Facebook page, or find me on Twitter, and I can direct you any of those ways. We've made it pretty easy to find. It's on a lot of boards, too. It's on Reddit. It's on cannabis culture. It's on a lot of different things. A lot of people have jumped in because they saw kind of the impact The Union did. So they're like, oh man, if we can get another film of that quality or even better, which is what we're hoping to do, is deliver something even better than what we did last time, that the support has been amazing.
Mm. And folks, if you want to get any of these links, when we talk to people here on the show, you can follow our new Twitter at RBShow420, and we'll tweet out all of these things so you can click right on them and get right to them. So Adam Scorgi, director here working on The Culture High. And so I guess this Culture High sounds to me as if The Union was the look at the dollars and cents of it, that this Culture High is more a look at the information and education behind it? Or give us a flavor of what we're looking at The Culture High.
Yeah, the Union was really looking at the business behind kind of the drug trafficking, and this one's looking more like the global culture of how things came to be, right? If you look at humans as a culture, how we divide things into Democrats and Republicans, and I'm on the blue team and you're on the red team. Instead of often humans, when they're grouped in group mentality, we're often most destructive because we don't look at saying like, well, maybe I could come halfway and maybe he could come halfway and we'd ultimately have what's best for human culture. But we get so caught up in the the societies we're brought up in, or the ways we grew up, that we're stuck on beliefs that a lot of the time we don't even know why. We don't have any research behind it. And this was even made, it was funny, because this is what Brett, the director, his whole vision was before we went to Parliament Hill. And then even when we talked to members of Parliament, they were saying how often they get caught up in, you know, certain arguments, and then they really question themselves, being like, when they're halfway down, being like, why am I so passionate about this? Like, oh, it's because I'm working for this MP and I'm supposed to be, but I don't really care about this law, right? But I'm going to fight it to the death, and I'll argue anybody that comes up with a different argument against it, even though they might not believe in it at all.
Kind of like people being separated into so-called pro-drug or anti-drug camps, when you're not really pro or anti. It's a matter of what's doing, what's smart, doing what's effective.
Well, exactly. And I think that's why the union was successful, is that, you know, we came into it as strictly filmmakers. We're not activists. We are not opponents. We were just guys going, okay, this is interesting. It's in the media all the time. How does this billion-dollar BC marijuana industry function while remaining illegal? Let's do an expose of that. And then it grew into something way bigger than we ever expected. You know, now coming something that, you know, I, for the Kickstarter, I'm getting people pledging from everywhere, from South Africa to Australia, Norway, Estonia. Like, people, I'm like, man, did we even have subtitles for those countries? I don't even know how you're into our film, right? But it reached out that far, that the message on there, and often a comment we got after screenings with big audiences, they would say, I didn't just learn about cannabis and the drug war. I learned a lot about human culture when I watched The Union, which is why it's grown into something now. That's why we put the title The Culture High on the next one.
Fantastic. Now, in this new film coming out, is it just profiling some of the activists and people working in this movement, or are there some names we're going to recognize perhaps?
Oh, yeah, there's definitely some names. It's going all over. We want to get a lot of opponents, you know, as many as we can to sit down. And this time with a real budget, you know, we weren't able to get them the first time. You know, we really want to have rational sit-down conversations with these people. But the nice thing now about having a budget is if some of these people that declined us the first time don't want to do interviews, well, we've got a good enough budget now where we can buy archival footage of them. The news conferences and press releases they did, right? Because when you're a political figure, you can use free use of that.
Right.
We didn't have that the last time. This time we do. So if people say no, we'll be like, well, we can just buy all the footage from NBC and ABC that they have of you in all these debates. We'd much rather sit down with you and get a healthy discussion. And hey, you can even film yourself while the interview's going on with your phone, so you can see we're not going to try to doctor it. We're not here to make people look dumb. We want to get good arguments on both sides. I think that's the only way. So you're going to see a slew of people from, you know, celebrities, because at the end of the day, it is a movie, so it has to have that entertaining punch, to, you know, politicians, scientists, doctors. We got some really big critical thinkers that are arguably some of the, you know, they say some of the best critical thinkers of our time, or in this generation anyway, that we want to get on board, just talking about human culture and why we get ourselves into group mentality. You know, patients that have gone through it, people that have suffered, street interviews, a whole slew of what's going on, and not just from North America too. We're looking, traveling to Europe, Canada, and the United States. So a lot more than just the, but I don't like to say too many names now because things can fall through. So sure. I don't want to make any promises. Like this guy, the only guy I can say is 100%. Well, Lester Grinspoon, Dr. Lester Grinspoon is returning from the first one. He's in 100%. And Joe Rogan, I was just on his show. He said that, you know, we didn't even have to ask, that he'd be glad to help out in any way he could.
That's awesome. So we'll just keep an eye out, and we'll follow your Twitter handle, AdamScoreG, S-C-O-R-E-G.
Yeah, and it's Score, like a goal with a G, because my company's name is Score G Production. So
gotcha.
It's just, yeah, Adam, and then Score like a goal with a big G.
All right. Well, and again, we're going to Twitter all this stuff out too. So people following us on RB Show 420 can get all this information and find out, you know, as you are able to confirm who's going to be in the film, I'm sure people will be very interested in finding this out. So Adam, Score G, before we let you go, want to wrap this up and, you know, one of the things that I find interesting in this project, you know, calling it The Culture High, is in my work, being talking to people all across America and the world, I find a lot of things alike, and I find some differences in our cannabis cultures. Most of us here in North America, we're familiar a little bit with BC Bud, for example, or you folks in Canada be familiar with, you know, OG Kush in California. What differences do you hope to show North American audiences between our cannabis cultures and theirs in Europe or Africa or Asia, for example?
Well, that's the thing is I think everybody needs to have kind of a global perspective of how it's looked at. And the great thing is us, like, I mean, we don't have an agenda going in. We just know that this one we want to make a much more global issue because it is a global issue, right? It's something that hundreds of cultures are using and have had different ways that they look at it. So we don't go in with any preset, you know, any pre-ways that we want to explain anything. We discover, like journalists, we have some great people that we've seen or we've read about that we'd love to interview. And then the film grows, like we leave it like we did with The Union, right, where we have some people who want to interview, and then after you interview somebody like Lester Grinspoon, I mean, he rocks your world. And it's like, wow, I got to do all this more research, and I got to go look at more stuff. And then from there, he gives recommendations of, oh, you should really interview this guy, you should interview this guy. And then we go to those people, and you learn more. So we don't ever like to hone in and say, okay, this is what we're going to do for every chapter. We have our basic chapters, you know, talking about how internet has changed the playing field because now people access to information is better than it's ever been and stuff like that that we know we want to include, but we don't ever set it out directly like, okay, we're going to cover this note, we're going to cover this note. We let it grow as we interview these amazing people. We set out a great cast list, interview them, and then from them we grow as the film grows and then edit that in a way that we think is entertaining and inspiring and impactful.
I'm sure it will be. I am so looking forward to The Culture High, and I want to encourage everybody to check out Adam Scorgi and The Culture High, the new project. There's a Kickstarter out there for it, and we will get you all that information out on our Twitter feed, RBShow420, so that you can contribute if you want to see this film made. Adam Scorgi, thanks so much for joining us here on The Russ Belville Show, and we look forward to talking to you again sometime.
No problem. Thanks for having me on. Anytime, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, when we come back, some ranting on Dr. Kevin Sabet and his kinder, gentler drug war. It's the Russ Belville Show. We'll be right back.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Look, I when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolates gum. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much and get drunk and do it all over again first of the month.
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
Cause the day was hard and your work was long and you need a break from all that's wrong. You better look at the clock cause it's 4:19. Time to reach in that pocket for your bag of green and smoke that weed.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell and I'm not gonna take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Well, I got a tweet from someone that pointed me out to this article that's up at U.S. News and World Report. Apparently, they've been hosting this thing called a debate club regarding the war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs. And reading the supporting pieces, now, there is a pro and con kind of thing, right? So you got Neil Franklin from Leap, you got Aaron Houston from SSDP, and you got Paul Armentano from Normal writing very, very cogent pieces that are the three most popular pieces on the debate. And then that was opposed by Dr. Kevin Sabet and David Brooks. Now, I'm just going to focus on Dr. Kevin Sabet because reading his supporting piece makes me wonder If we're talking about the same drug war that's killed 60,000 Mexicans, arrested 850,000 pot-smoking Americans, and done nothing to actually combat actual drug problems. So, my non-pot-smoking friend, Dr. Kevin Sabet, has this piece called End the War, but Not the Fight Against Drugs. Now, you may recall that I debated Dr. Sabet back in March, and he continued what I call his kinder, gentler drug war marketing. And that's what it is, folks. It's a marketing ploy. He's at it again, explaining how the war on drugs is just a bad metaphor. But he doesn't disagree with its basic premise that the U.S. government should use force to stop people from using drugs that don't have barcodes on them. Let me quote from Dr. Sabet's piece here. Finding a smart way to reduce that market for illegal drugs by cutting its demand and supply is the shortest route out of the $193 billion in costs that society each year incurs as a result of drug use in America. Okay, I have no idea where he pulls out this $193 billion in costs from. But often when I've debated drug warriors in the past and looked over their figures, what they'll do is they'll cite productivity losses, that's what they'll call it, by comparing the incomes of, or sometimes the net worth, right, of drug users versus the incomes or net worth of non-drug users. And they'll subtract and they'll say, see, this is how much it costs per drug user times how many drug users. Oh my God, $193 billion. Well, yeah, no kidding. Drug users make less money. Often because they're arrested and incarcerated, or because they're drug tested and not hired for better paying jobs. If anyone who ever was caught drinking a beer was forced to check a little box that says, have you ever been convicted of a felony, on their job applications for the rest of their lives, or if they were randomly having their pee tested to see if they could detect alcohol use from a month ago and that would cost them their jobs, oh, you'd see a whole lot of productivity losses from alcohol. I mean, more than the ones we already see. And that begs the question, too. If our drug supply and demand is so disastrous for our economy, why are there no serious efforts to reduce alcohol supply and demand? Heard any calls lately to set quotas on how much Budweiser can be manufactured? You know, like the DEA does for prescription drugs. They have quotas that are set. How about anybody calling to remove the funny, sexy beer ads from our TVs? Or how about calling for mandatory 12-month alcoholic rehab for any drinker who commits a crime? I'll bet you an ounce of Oregon Green Bud there is more lost productivity from drinkers hungover on a Monday or cutting out early on a Friday than from all the pot smokers on the workforce. This Oxford-educated PhD seriously believes that we can reduce the supply of a weed that grows everywhere outside the Antarctic Circle. Can we please put dandelions and crabgrass in Schedule 1, too? Because I'd like to reduce the supply of those weeds, and I have absolutely no demand for them whatsoever. Reduce the demand for weed. Now, look, it might work if there were some deleterious consequences from the use of weed, like if you use too much coke, meth, or smack. There's generally some signs that appear in your life that kind of tell you need to slow down, right? But weed? People demand weed so much more than other drugs because it's so pleasant and lacks serious side effects. You might as well try and reduce the demand for orange juice. All right, let me get back to Dr. Sabet's piece here. He points out four things in the piece that we need to concentrate on to, you know, help reduce the problems from drugs. And this is one of the pieces he puts out. He says, intervention. If individuals start to use drugs, we know that brief interventions by doctors, coaches, parents, faith leaders, or others, do a pretty good job at stopping the progression of use from non-dependence to addiction. So you're saying a pep talk from the doc, the coach, the mom, or the pastor will stop the progression. The progression. So you're telling me that a person can remain at a non-dependent use of marijuana? Just as most people have drank alcohol in their lives and they do it on a non-dependent level? And oh, by the way, an intervention from doctors, coaches, parents, faith leaders, or others. Who are these others? Oh yeah, police and DEA. I suppose who aren't so understanding about non-dependent use. They tend to throw non-dependent users in a cage and take all their stuff. And inside the cage, there's plenty of drugs to be used there and criminal traits to be learned. And when you get out of the cage and are forced to check that little felony box on job apps, turning to crime becomes more of a necessary option. Speaking of interventions, Dr. Sabet continues to say, newer interventions like drug courts or interventions that combine positive drug tests with very short sanctions, like 1 to 3 days in jail, can significantly reduce drug use and help people live a better life. Which is a great thing, I suppose, if you're talking about the hopelessly addicted meth addict ripping off copper wire from the bridge in order to support his habit. But these interventions, 1 to 3 days in jail, are applied to the college kids smoking a joint as well. So long as merely having a drug is the crime for which we sentence people to rehab, we'll be ruining millions of lives and filling rehab beds with people that don't need them. He continues, this again, Dr. Sabet. Targeted enforcement increases the price of drugs, and people adjust their drug use based on price, and puts the right people in jail for the public good. That's wrong on just about every count. Let me count the ways. First of all, he says the price increases the price of drugs. Targeted enforcement increases the price of drugs. Well, I turned to the United States Department of Justice Office of National Drug Control Policy 2011 data release. This is available. You can get the link on my blog, RadicalRust.com. This is the drug czar's figures I'm giving you here, people. This is the drug czar's figures. In 1981, the cost of a pure gram of cocaine was $637. In 2009, $184. In 1981, the cost of a pure gram of meth was $422, in 2009, $175. In 1981, the cost of a pure gram of heroin was $1,934 today, or 2009, excuse me, $394. But the price of a pure gram of cannabis, $8.81 in 1981, $14.12 in 2009. Increases the price of drugs, huh? No. In the case of cocaine, meth, and heroin, the price of those drugs has dropped dramatically. And not only that, the purity of those drugs has increased dramatically. Cocaine's gone from 40% to 48%. Meth has gone from 46% to 80% pure. Heroin's gone from 11% to 32% pure. So much for targeted enforcement increases the price of drugs. Now, the second part of that, people adjust their drug use based on price. What is addiction? Addiction is when you are so physiologically and psychologically compelled to use a drug that you will do anything to get it. So if the price goes up and you ain't got the money, guess what? You start robbing people. You start breaking into things. That's what happens. People adjust their drug use based on price. Yeah, they might not be able to do as much as they were doing before, but they'll do anything to get what they can. And puts the right people in jail for the public good, like Dr. Molly Fry and Dale Schaefer, the cancer survivor and hemophiliac, respectively, who are growing cannabis plants to help medical marijuana patients under the state law in California and with cooperation of the local authorities. Those some of the right people in jail for the public good there, Dr. Sabet? The only drug whose price has gone up because of the war on drugs is cannabis. Because guess what? It's a weed. It grows anywhere. Cannabis, if it were legal, would have just about the same street price as dandelions, man. Well, maybe not. There's much more demand for cannabis. I'll grant you that. But you get my point. It's a weed. The only way you can make it expensive is to make it illegal. So every hard drug got cheaper while pot got more expensive. Now, combine that with the fact that drug testing catches marijuana for up to a month, but it catches hard drugs for up to 3 days. God, it almost seems like the drug war is all about incentivizing us to stop using pot and start using more dangerous and addictive drugs. What happens when you raise the price on weed? Well, some casual users may use less, but those are those once or twice a year pot smokers, and they don't really mind if their special occasion is going to cost them $40 for an eighth or $60 for an eighth. It's not going to matter. They're still going to pay it because they don't use it that often. But the regular users will take advantage of the price subsidy and sell just enough of their stash at a markup to be able to afford their own weed for free. And the price goes up and up and up. And think for a moment about that price support, the price support on marijuana. Dr. Sabet claims people will adjust their drug use according to price, yet now, as marijuana is as expensive as it's ever been, 26 million Americans are still using it at least once a year. Meanwhile, the murderous Mexican drug traffickers get extra profits from the crop that, by some accounts, makes up 60% of their business. Do you think there would be as much business in growing marijuana in Mexico, shipping it past border security, and marketing it up to $14 a gram for sales to Americans if Americans could get $7 grams in their local dispensary, or hell, grow their own weed for $7 an ounce? That business would dry up in a heartbeat. I don't know why prohibitionists like Dr. Kevin Sabet want to keep giving price subsidies to murderous Mexican cartels. Let me continue with Dr. Sabet. It remains to be seen whether we will fully use these interventions to their full potential, or instead throw up our hands and abandon all efforts as if nothing can ever work. Well, well, well. This is another one of Dr. Sabet's rhetorical distractions. What he's trying to do is to make you think that what we're advocating is throwing up our hands. The kinder, gentler drug war strategy all depends on painting the current situation, the drug war we have now, versus, oh, we'll have to legalize all drugs for open sale at the 7-Eleven. So that way he can put himself in the middle and try to see, oh, I'm the rational moderate with the rational moderate position. Here's how you deflate that balloon. And you're going to hear it. You're hearing it from Chris Christie already. Obama's used it before. You're going to hear it a lot in the coming months. Here's how you deflate that balloon. What we advocate is the legalization of drugs. But that's a broad spectrum that ranges from aspirin to morphine. Aspirin's legal. Morphine's legal. We just want to be somewhere in that spectrum, right? We want to party on it too. We just want to be somewhere in that spectrum. So here's how you should pot be legal? Sure. Probably not as legal as aspirin, you know, on the shelf at the 7-Eleven and kids can buy it. No, I don't want that. But probably as legal as alcohol, you know, special stores or sections in the store and carding for adults. Sure. Why not? Should heroin be legal? Yeah, I don't think you should lock up heroin addicts, but I don't want it as legal as alcohol. Maybe closer to morphine. You know, maybe there should be a clinical setting and you have to have a doctor. You know, some of the stuff they're doing in Switzerland, some of the stuff they're doing in England, you know, prescriptions required. And so maintenance heroin, maybe something like that. But it's a spectrum. Don't let them try to fool you into thinking that it's an all or nothing. Oh, either drugs are prohibited, war on drugs, or we're talking about legalizing it at the 7-Eleven. It's not an all or nothing, because if you cede that ground, he gets to paint himself as the moderate in the middle. And never forget, Dr. Sabet and the drug warriors like him need drugs to be a singular, not a plural demonym. And what I mean by that is they need drugs should not be legalized, instead of maybe marijuana should be legalized and maybe we should discuss other drugs, right? Because if you separate marijuana from the other drugs, it destroys most of his arguments he has about addiction, productivity, and public health. Now, when he advocates all these kinder, gentler drug war axioms like treatment and prevention, always bring it back to the person. Always bring it back to the personal, the casual pot smoker. Does a person who smokes a joint once a year, Dr. Sabet, at, say, Willie Nelson's Texas picnic party, whatever it is, does that person need a mandatory 12-month drug treatment program? Should the government send a SWAT team into people's homes in the middle of the night to prevent them from smoking a joint? Should we have massive efforts to go through our have our police flying helicopters at overtime rates to merely go weeding in a garden? Is that the way we want to spend our resources? Now, in response to that, he'll try to play the, oh, well, we don't really do that to casual pot smokers. He said it to me. He said, well, Russ, you're not in jail. You've never had a problem. Well, then you have to just follow it up with concrete examples of people who actually did get busted. Very easy to do. Just use Google. Or turn it this way. Why not? Why aren't I going to jail? Why aren't the casual users going to jail? Are you conceding that some people can be marijuana users without being abusers? And if so, why do you advocate a law that treats them like abusers? All right, there's your hints for the day. I hope that helps. The entire piece is up at my blog, RadicalRush.com. You can check that out with all the links and some humorous pictures as well. Stick around. We're going to have Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. And tomorrow, I am out to Ohio, Pomeroy, Ohio, for the Starwood Festival. So follow RB Show 420 for info.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.